Thank you for praying those specific words, Carrie, because I was thinking as we were singing the song, I'm like, I know a lot of your stories. I know them, and I want you to hear that he's not going to fail you. You're going to make it through. You're going to make it through because he's not going to fail you. But I'm feeling ornery today. We had a great rehearsal this morning. What did you say?
Yes.
Okay. We had a great rehearsal this morning. Sometimes I'll tell you, like, when it's a disaster, like, oh, man, it was so hard this morning. Worship's going to be great because the devil's after us. You know, I've told you that. But today we had a great time, and things went smoothly, so I want to celebrate that, too. And so I'm feeling ornery today, and that's bad, because guess what? What's the topic we have today? Reggie, he gave me smell. He said last week that he gave me the easiest one, but the truth is, here's how this normally goes, everybody. A little peek behind the curtain, okay? This is how the sausage is made. I normally will, months in advance, set out, like, here's the series that we want to do, and I will take this fully formed presentation to Reggie and say which date and which scripture works best for you because I love you and I want to set you up for the best success that you can imagine. And then this last year, he told correctly last week, he said, I asked him to do a series for us this summer. And he said, I already know which one I want to do. And then we talked about it later. And then in like January or February, he goes, I want to do five senses, and I'm not talking on smell. That's going to be you. You got to talk about smell, because I don't know what that has to do with anything. He gave me the hardest one. He told me, said last week to all of you, I'm giving him the easiest one. But he directed me to the hardest one. But I'm and because I'm feeling ornery today, the smell thing could be good for all of you. And so what we'll do is if I say things that I regret later, we'll take it off of the internet. I'll pre-record something else and upload that. And then you guys will forgive me. I've never had judgment on any of you, so therefore you should not judge me for whatever happens to come out of my mouth today. So I've done some research on smell in the Bible, and smell is biblical. It's there. It's actually all throughout the Word. So what we'll do is, I'm not going to read them all for you. There's tons and tons of verses about it. But I want you to see how smell is used in the Word. And so the first thing is it, in general, describes a sacrifice to God. A pleasing aroma, if you will. If you pull that slide up here, it's a pleasing aroma to the Lord. You'll see that phrase fairly often in the Old Testament, specifically in Leviticus and like Deuteronomy and stuff. And I've already offended Tom. They're out of here. But it's used in sacrificial terms, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. Here's Leviticus 2:2. And bring it to Aaron's sons, the priest. He shall take it from the handful of fine flour and oil with all of its incense, and the priest shall burn this as a memorial portion on the altar, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. You'll see scriptures like that fairly frequently throughout the scriptures. Here's another category of descriptive terms. It's just describing the sense of smell that humans have. You can all smell things. When you walked in, maybe you smelled coffee, a little bit of donuts, and a whole lot of old building. You know, it smells like old building in here, and you can't help it. This is what it smells like. But here's Daniel 3:27, and the satraps and the prefects and the governors and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had no power over the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who'd been thrown in the fiery furnace. The hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. You all know what campfire smells like, that smoky smell. It lasts for days if you don't take a shower. It can stuck in your hair. No smell of fire was on them, even though they had been in the fiery furnace. Here's Job 39:25. When the trumpet sounds, he says, aha, he smells the battle from afar, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. I've never been in battle before, but I've been told there's an aroma to it. It smells. Rodney could probably attest to that. It smells. And then there's another category of smell. It's a comparison. There's another way to use smell. Isaiah 3:24. Instead of perfume, there will be rottenness. That's a smell. Instead of perfume, there will be rottenness. Instead of a belt, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. This one speaks to me. And instead of a rich robe, a skirt of sackcloth and branding instead of beauty. Here's another one, Ecclesiastes 10:1. Dead flies make the perfumer's ointment give off a stench. It stinks. So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. I remember a sermon clear back from when I was like 12, 13 years old. They used that passage from the King James. And the passage, like the words that are just ingrained in my head was, dead flies stink up the apothecary. Apothecary is like the old school term for like a perfumer. It's a little shop. So, and of course, another category is all throughout the Song of Solomon. Anybody Song of Solomon fans? Yeah, buddy. All right. Okay. Some of those I couldn't read here in mixed company because I wouldn't be able to stop giggling about it. But here's a couple. Song of Solomon 1:12. While the king was on his couch, my nard gave forth its fragrance. I don't know what that means. Song of Solomon 5:13. His cheeks are like bed of spices, mounds of sweet-smelling herbs. His lips are lilies dripping liquid myrrh. Wow. Man, that's got to smell good. It's liquid myrrh. Song of Solomon 4:10. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine and the fragrance of your oils than any spice. I don't know why he's talking to his sister and his bride that way, but whatever. Skipping into the New Testament, the Gospels. Who can forget Martha's concern for her dead brother Lazarus, who she had asked for Jesus to come heal him before he died. Jesus delayed 3-4 days before he got there. And she protests when Jesus says, roll away the tombstone. She gives a warning. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. Have you ever been around something that's been dead for 4 days? The King James says, by this time, Lord, surely he stinketh. Yeah, use that one. Surely he stinketh. It smells. We have smells. Here's another one, just one more. Paul uses smell as an analogy for each of us to have our own role, our own ministries within the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? It plays a role in what we do and who we are. Smell plays a unique role in our five senses. Technically, the name for it is the olfactory sense. The olfactory sense. Humans can smell up to 10,000 different smell molecules, which sounds like a lot. But compared to, say, a dog or literally any other animal, it's not a lot. We have a limited sense of smell. Smell is, though, vital for survival. It helps us sense danger. You can smell, oh, there's a fire. I smell a fire. Where's the fire at? Where's the smoke? Or I think there's a gas leak. There's something going on here. Oh, I smell the burning rubber of tires. Something has happened in here. It actually, whether we realize it or not, it helps us find a mate and reproduce. Smell also affects taste. Taste has our tongues, like Reggie talked about the tongue last week in taste. Taste has four primary receptors, sweet, sour, bitter, and salty. But smell fills in the gaps. The olfactory sense helps you taste the array of tastes that are available to you. It's more than just what happens on your tongue. You're smelling it too. Not having smell can really affect how you behave and what you eat. Did anybody here lose their sense of taste and smell because of COVID? Anybody do that? Yeah, quite a few of you. I didn't have that experience. I've been fascinated by it. Anybody have a lingering problem with it? Yeah, it's ongoing. Makes things tricky. Having a stuffed up nose prohibits tasting things properly. You know, when you got a little cold or something, it can create problems for eating. Get this, smell can be shown, like problems with smell can be shown to be early warning signs for Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and multiple sclerosis. So, like, they can start to see if there was an issue with their smell, because smell's important. But here's what I want to key in on today, that smell is impossible without breath. You can't smell something if you're not breathing. When we smell, we're breathing. We breathe in, we breathe out. And actually, I did some research as to why can we not smell when we breathe out. You know, why is that? It has to do with olfactory fatigue, and that's why you can have dog poop on your shoe and you smell it right away, but over time you're like, I don't even smell it anymore. It's because you're used to it. You have olfactory fatigue. Here's the point for me. When we're smelling, we're breathing. And as a race of humans, we've had the godly breath of life since day one. Or day six, you know, as it may be in the timeline there. So today, I'm going to talk to you about the topic of the scent of life. We can't breathe without smelling, and we can't smell without breathing. So let's go back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. That's what gives us humans uniqueness. Now the scripture will tell you that God breathed into all the other animals as well, but we're the only ones where it says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. We're unique in that way. Breathing is one of the fundamental disciplines of the human body. You don't last long without it. You have to keep breathing. We've seen it. This has been the biggest part of COVID-19 has been the breathing things. When you get as bad as some people got, and then it sadly died, they got onto breathing machines that would do the work for them, because without breathing, you don't last long. Breathing's made up of two separate acts. There's inspiration, breathing in. You can all try that right now. Let's breathe in. And then expiration, breathing out. And to expire, to breathe one's last breath, is dying. But with breathing, there's inhale and there's exhale. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in the powerhouse, then use that power for good out. Inhale, exhale. In with the power of the Spirit, out with the energy for ministry. We must breathe. But we don't always breathe well physically or spiritually, for that matter. Things kind of get in the way sometimes of our being able to breathe. You know, if you're breathing physically and you have trouble, sometimes people have trouble that have asthma. Asthma can cause problems for breathing. Asthma is a constriction of the windpipe and the lungs, so that it makes it so you cannot inhale and exhale properly. It's constricted in there. And perhaps some of us have spiritual asthma because we have constricted schedules that make it impossible to breathe in the breath of life from the Spirit. Allergies can cause a problem for breathing. outside influences interrupt the flow of breath and make it so we have inefficient breathing. Perhaps there's an allergen or an outside influence in your life that makes it so you cannot breathe in the Spirit. Maybe it's forgiveness or lack thereof can get in the way of not being able to breathe in the Spirit. Air quality can be an issue. The environment we place ourselves in may make it very difficult to breathe at times. There's pollutants in the air that cause us to struggle to breathe. Maybe your environment that you are in is toxic to you, and you have a difficulty or maybe impossibility to breathe in the Spirit. Here's another one, obstruction. Obstacles get in the way of breathing sometimes. We choke on things or we have too much of something and then we can't breathe. Maybe there's something in the way of your breathing in and out of the Spirit. Maybe there's a sin wedged between you and God right now, and you can't breathe because of what's happening in your life. And the last one that I'll bring up is shortness of breath. Some people can run and do lots of activities without increasing their breath rate. Like they can just keep running. And I've heard about people who have the best conversations while they talk, or they run. They talk to each other while they run. My kids do it. Yeah, we just talk while we ran. And I'm like, how can you even talk after a quarter of a mile? Like, I'm dying. I can't even breathe, let alone carry on conversation. But overactivity can cause shortness of breath and difficulty inhaling and exhaling. So perhaps you're short of breath from overactivity. I want to look at John chapter 20. This is the primary passage for today. John chapter 20. 19 through 23. I'll just kind of talk through the verses as we go because there's a particular point in here where Jesus breathes on the disciples and they're empowered by the Holy Spirit. It says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, this is right after the death and resurrection, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Now, in terms of being able to breathe in and out in the Spirit, peace being with you is of primary concern. And maybe we just need to stop and go behind maybe a literal or a figurative locked door and leave your phone on the other side of that door and just come into this place where you can have peace with you. All of the outside influences are removed from you and you can just be with the Father. I've said, and I've heard other people say, ain't nobody got time for that. I ain't got time for that. There's no time for doing that. I totally understand that. It's a valid point. But my response to myself and to others is this: what is there that's more important than your spiritual health? What thing do you have that's more important than your emotional and spiritual health? Because if you don't have that, then what do you have? If you don't have time to sense the presence of Jesus in your life, then you're way too busy. You're doing too much. Our clocks and our calendars dominate our lives to the extent that we cannot slow down enough to hear Jesus. And I'm guilty of it. I'm 100% guilty. I'm not trying to tell you I'm like some expert on like slow down and just spend time with Jesus. I'm not good at this. I've found rhythms that are helpful to me. I've found patterns that are good. But balance is not there. I have rhythms. But I have found that I work better when I realize that I control my calendar. The calendar does not control me. I control my own calendar. And I can prioritize time to realize His peaceful presence in my life. Can you imagine just taking time behind a locked door with your cell phone on the other side of it? I think if I would actually exercise that and actually do that and take the time to inhale, breathe in, and breathe out with Jesus, I might be able to hear the words and receive them, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Just inhale that. Peace, and then out, be with you. Peace be with you. Even in the midst of our busy, busy, busy schedules, running from thing to thing, the presence of Jesus is there with you. But do you have the time to just waste time with the Lord? And it appears that's what the disciples are doing, actually. They're just up there in a room, behind a locked door. They're just up there. What are they doing? Are they wasting time? Actually, I think they're in mourning. And they're afraid of the Jews. Might come after them, too. But they're up there spending time with one another. They were allowing themselves to be before they went out to do whatever it is they were going to do next. Our calendars can control our lives to the extent that we are doing, doing, doing all the time, and we've not allowed ourselves to just be in the presence of Jesus for a period of peacefulness with the Lord. It is not time wasted. That is time invested. We're investing our time with Jesus. Here's verse 20. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. In those moments where you're feeling overwhelmed, where you're unable to breathe in the presence of the Spirit, you can say these words. Say them out loud, maybe. Or if you're too embarrassed to do that, say them to yourself. Rehearse them in your mind. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Or maybe better yet, personalize it. Peace be with me. As the Father has sent Jesus, so he sends me. Peace. Peace be with me. Allow that peace that passes understanding to come within you and in your heart. Keep you centered and focused to give you just a breath of the Spirit's peace. I know when I get nervous for things, like my breathing changes. And so I have to be conscious of that, and I'll slow my breathing down intentionally. I'll just like take a big inhale in, a big exhale out. Jim can tell you, our drummer, that when I have to start a song, I always start too fast because I'm too nervous. It's 100% every time. And Jim will say, do you need me to set the tempo? And the answer is always yes. And then sometimes I forget that he's supposed to set the tempo, and I'll still start too fast until I breathe. Okay, it's all right. These people love me. We're going to be friends even if I screw this up, right? I mean, you guys, right? Even if I screw up a song, we're going to be friends, right? No one agreed with me. I don't golf much, but when I do, I'm terrible. So what I have to do when I get up there to take my swing, I breathe in, exhale out. Sometimes when I preach other places and I'm not with the friendly faces that I thought were friendly up till a moment ago, I get nervous when I go to other people's places to speak because I've never done it before with them. I don't know if the message that I have for them is going to be right for them. So I get nervous. And then I find my pace is just going fast, fast, faster until I breathe and slow down. And then I can go. Breathing in preparation for doing doesn't mean you just sit back and relax. For the disciples, there's this invitation of love and relationship only found in the peace that Jesus brings. But there's a challenge of responsibility as well. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, now I send you. You don't just breathe. You got to go. You have to keep moving. You have to get out there. But here's the problem with it. As the Father sent Jesus, so he sends us. with nothing. With nothing. I think he equips you along the way. Jesus left everything to be sent into the world. He left the comfort of heaven behind so that he could come and enter the world with us. And guess what? How did the world respond? They killed him. Like a lamb led to slaughter. That's how the Father sent him. So I send you, he says. I don't really want to be a part of that. That doesn't sound so great. I'm not sure too many of us really want to be sent like that. But when we go as sent ones. And then it takes the burden off of us because we're just here on behalf of the one who sent me. It's not me. I'm just here because of the one who sent me. And I think there's two things that's beneficial for us. The first thing is rejection and acceptance. Rejection and acceptance. If they reject you, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the one who sent you. It takes the burden of rejection off of you. But also, don't take the credit. If they accept you, they're accepting the one who sent you. Here's the other thing. It's an integration of your life and your calendar. Because I'm just here as a sent one from Jesus. We all wear a lot of different hats, and we're busy all doing different things. I have a dad hat, a pastor hat, musician hat, that one guy at school when I volunteer, sub at the school, I coach folks, Mr. Fix-It hat, like go fix this thing. I have all these different hats, but as a sent one, you don't need to wear different hats. You wear one hat. It's a sent one hat. I'm a disciple of Jesus hat. That's all I have. You have one hat. And then everything you do is an extension of wearing that hat. Jesus sends you to work. And at work, you're his disciple. What would Jesus do if he was you at your work? Do that. Jesus sends you to Walmart for groceries, and there you are his disciple. What would he do there? He would overturn the tables. Yeah, I know, but he's like, it's a bad example. Jesus sends you to fix your lawnmower, and you're a disciple while doing that. What would he do there? You do that. I have trouble with that particular one. Like, does he throw wrenches against the trees? No, he wouldn't. So I need to not do that. Jesus sends you to visit a friend at the funeral home who's mourning the loss of a loved one, and you are his disciple. What would Jesus do there? Do that. Jesus sends you to the ball field for somebody's game, your kid's game or somebody else's. This one's tough for some people. You are his disciple. What would Jesus do if he were you in that moment? Do that. So no matter what you do or where you go, you are a sent one of Jesus. We're meant to go about to the world carrying the peace that only he can give us. And so you keep rehearsing that prescription, even if it means repeating it many times. Peace be with me. As the Father has sent Jesus, even so he's sending me. And you can do that while you breathe. Peace be with me on the inhale. Send me like Jesus on the exhale. It's a perfect prescription for the world. You and I are the sent ones that Jesus has sent. And we are just simply to do as Jesus did. Here's verse 22 to wrap it up. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold the forgiveness from any, it is withheld." I think that's the best part of the passage. He breathed on them. In an era of COVID, we don't want to do that, okay? But in those days, like, he breathed on them. I think there's power in the holy breath of Jesus, in the holy breath of God. Think back to earlier in the message. I said, God breathed his power into the nostrils of the first human to give them life. And now here Jesus is breathing on the disciples to give them the Holy Spirit. And along with that, very interesting, I think, the first ability they have is forgiveness. It's the first thing they are given is forgiveness. They were given the power to forgive immediately. And maybe there is something to unforgiveness controlling our inability to breathe in the Spirit. Both the need to forgive others and the need to be forgiven. In order to really properly breathe in the Spirit, we must exercise forgiveness. Maybe it's one of our obstructions, the obstacles that makes us unable to breathe properly. We have to remove obstacles, and we must claim forgiveness that is promised and extend the same forgiveness to others that has been given to us. And so, to simplify this message, maybe down to one little practice or one little sentence that I hope might be helpful for you, I would say this. We breathe in the presence. We inhale. Breathe in the presence of the Spirit and breathe out the power of the Spirit. We breathe in the presence. We breathe out the power. We breathe in the presence so that we have strength to go out beyond ourselves and breathe out the goodness, the strength of God. We have power for ministry to do this. We talked about these five senses. This is how we perceive the world. Senses are how we perceive the world, but how are we being perceived by others? How can we show others this is the breath of life? You want to smell? Sure, great. Breathe in this. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Breathe in this, the presence of the Holy Spirit, so that we might be the people of God doing the things God has called us to do. Let us pray. God, be with us as we breathe in your presence. There might be lots of us here who are having obstructions from breathing in your presence. There might be lots of us here having issues with our firm foundation because we've built it on shaky foundation. We're afraid you're going to fail us because maybe we've failed you time and time again. Help us, Lord, to remove those obstructions. Remove the things that constrict us from breathing. Remove the things that are corrupting the air around us, that the toxic air, maybe the air quality, our environment needs to be different. Give us the courage to move away from it and find good, clean air and breathe it in. Breathe in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Breathe out the power. We breathe in, peace be with us. We breathe out, so we are sent. Lord, help us to breathe. Breathe in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air.